listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I am joined by Tribune reporter Jeremy Gorner, who covers the police department for the Chicago. For Chicago. I mean, not like, you don't do suburban police departments as well, do
no,
you?
No, usually not, no.
You got enough to cover with CPD.
Yes.
This is one of the biggest stories last year. I was just in California telling someone about how there was a 9-year-old boy who was executed by gang members. It was a story that, I mean, really caught the attention and gripped the heart. I mean, it tore people's hearts apart, I think, to know that this little boy was lured into an alley and executed. What has happened in the last few days?
Well, Patty, it's been revealed, basically, that one of the suspects who they had been onto for a long time, uh-huh, along with the other two suspects. He was locked up November 16th on an unrelated gun charge, along with Corey Morgan,
okay,
who was the first person who was charged in Tyshawn's murder. And according to authorities, this second suspect, his name's Dwight Boone Doty. He's also a member of this faction of the Black Peastones called Bang Bang Gang Terror Town, they
okay
call him. We'll get to that later,
yeah,
about all the gang factions. He was allegedly bragging about killing Tyshawn in the presence of at least one other inmate, talking about how he talking about just his involvement in the murder. So, and this is all according to sources. The police department, the state's attorney's office, just so you know, nobody would go on the record confirming any of this. This is all from sources, though.
As far as there being a informant?
Correct, yeah, okay, yeah.
Right, because, I mean, that person would be in danger, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that's the... I certainly know that that's how they feel about
right
it.
Right, because there's no way to find out.
The police and the state's attorney, that is, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and they would want to protect them, and, you know, we have no way of knowing if there was a deal in order to,
correct,
you know, sort of enhance the situation, because if they mm-hmm had someone wearing a wire, that would take a lot of, you know, a lot of convincing.
Right, right. And basically what this guy did, from what we've been able to gather, is that, you know, he learned about what Doty was telling him, in the Cook County Jail.
Right.
So he went to authorities. He went to the Cook County Sheriff's personnel and said, hey, look, this guy is saying X, Y, and Z. Chicago police detectives on the case were notified, determined that what this guy was saying was pretty credible.
Right.
So they got a court order for him to wear a wire, and him or her, I don't know.
Again,
I don't know,
right,
you know, the gender of the,
sure,
probably a male because they're usually grouped together.
Right.
Obviously. And so all this stuff came out from what Doty was saying, mm-hmm, basically.
And even so much as he was writing lyrics to a song bragging about,
yeah, it. I mean, the prosecutors were saying at his bond hearing that he was writing a rap song about the murder.
Okay.
And he had originally planned to torture Tyshawn by cutting off his fingers and his ears, which is, you know.
I mean, right.
Anybody that's just a, you know, chills to your spine. Anyone who hears that detail,
right? I mean, it's gut wrenching enough that he executed a 9-year-old boy, and the fact that he has, you know, kind of almost sounds like he wishes he had the opportunity to torture this little boy.
Mm-hmm.
We already knew he was a savage, so, and even the people I would imagine in jail, this is like a new level of disgusting,
mm-hmm,
to other criminals,
right?
Which is perhaps why the informant came forward.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, no, it's bizarre.
Perhaps.
Or just wants an opportunity to get a better deal themselves.
That's, I mean, generally speaking, that's how it goes,
right,
usually. I mean, that level of detail we've been trying to get more of. It's everything's kind of trickling out. And I know as the case kind of progresses, you know, especially as it goes to trial, all that stuff will come out. But
was there anything in your mind when this, you know, when you started getting information about the charges that were coming,
mm-hmm,
about the timing of it? Because we are 1 week from the primaries for Anita Alvarez.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there I know on social media, and just even people on the beat who I've been interacting with in the last 48 hours,
mm-hmm,
are, you know, saying that, hey, look, Jeremy, I'm an admitted cynic. I'll admit I'm a cynic, and I find it awfully coincidental that this is coming a week before the primaries. Now, one thing you got to keep in mind, too, is that Corey Morgan, the first defendant who was charged in Tyshawn's killing, There was a press conference for his, you know, announcing charges against him on the day that the Laquan McDonald protests were about to.
Really?
On Black Friday.
So that was gone.
Right. And I remember that I was at that press conference and I had asked Superintendent McCarthy about that. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, clearly you've been on to Corey Morgan for a while, because at that point, you know, if you remember with Corey Morgan, he had been in the police station on two separate occasions. Mm-hmm. The police had wanted to talk to him about Tyshawn's killing, and they had to release him those previous two times.
They didn't have enough information.
Because he wouldn't talk to them,
okay.
Basically. And then finally, day after Thanksgiving, they announced charges against him, and that was the day of the Laquan protest. So I guess my point is that, yeah, there were people then saying, oh, well, this is to distract attention away from the Laquan McDonald protest.
Right.
And similarly, now you have a week before the primary, people are saying the same thing about, oh, well, this is almost to their benefit. Whether that's true, I don't know, but I'm just saying that there's a parallel there. There were people who were kind of cynical, thinking that, oh, there's got to be some kind of connection there.
Well, it's hard.
There's no way to prove that, of course.
There's no way to prove it, but it's hard to have faith when, you know, we don't know whether or not the Laquan McDonald video could have been released sooner, if it was impacted at all by the mayoral election, you know.
Right.
So, I think that, well, and how can Chicagoans not be cynical?
Right, right.
It's kind of
right.
That's what they've led us to, you know, is sort of occupy that space.
Of course, yeah. But I mean, for the record, I don't want to accuse them of that.
No, you have not. And I knew that you would be, you know, you'd say I'm a journalist and you have any information to back that up.
Of course not. But there was talk, though, I remember, you know, during that, you know, there were people wondering that the timing of these charges are suspicious. And this time, this second time around, there's some out there who think the charges are also suspicious because of the primary.
Right. So, exactly.
Coming up.
And the suspect that's being charged right now, Doty is his name?
Yeah. Dwight Boone Doty.
Okay.
Or Dwight Doty, as police, either way they've called him.
Dwight Doty. Well, he was in jail he was sentenced to 5 years for other charges. It was narcotics and guns, I think. I'm not sure.
Yes.
But he was released about almost just shy of 2 years,
mm-hmm.
2 months before he executed Tyshawn Lee.
Correct.
Now I'm mixing all of the stories.
It was 3 months before Tyshawn, 2 months before Brianna Jenkins.
Right. So this is a young woman who's 19 years old.
Yes.
Was in a car with another, with a gang member.
Yeah.
Again, it was a situation where Doty was trying to, it was retaliation for other actions.
Correct. So I think just to kind of, try to give the best synopsis I can here. Brianna Jenkins was in the car with a man who police have, they're saying he's a rival gang member.
Okay.
From the gang that Doty belonged to. And that gang is a faction of the Gangster Disciples. This victim, who was with Brianna Jenkins, who survived, called Killaward.
And the Disciples are one of the older gangs in Chicago.
Gangster Disciples are one of the older gangs in Chicago. So I guess just to kind of maybe do a rundown about how the whole Tyshawn Lee investigation began. These two gangs, you know, you have the Gangster Disciples and the Black Peace Stones, two of the oldest street gangs in Chicago.
Okay.
And largest, you know, historically. Like all big street gangs, a lot of them have branched off into factions over the years. The leaders of these gangs went to jail. I know that Rokan has talked about this a lot. I know he's studied this, and I've talked to him about this. So that's what happened in this case. So these large gangs branch off into factions. In this case, you have the Peace Stones have a faction called Terror Dome, or Bang Bang Gang Terror Dome, as the Cook County prosecutors called them, and the Gangster Disciples have Killaward. These two gangs are in the Auburn-Gresham neighborhood. They've been fighting for years. The police have been able to – they're investigating several shootings that have happened over the years, over the last 3 to 5 years maybe,
mm-hmm.
and several murders. So basically, recently, we'll talk about October 13th. There was a guy named Tracy Morgan who was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Morgan was a member of Terror Dome, Bang Bang Gang Terror Dome. And he was attending one of those gang call-ins that, and I know I've talked about this before on your show.
With the police department. So if they're on probation or...
Chicago police, they have these things called gang call-ins where... anyone who's on parole, who's got a convicted felon, they try to reacclimate these people back into society by kind of saying, look, if you keep doing what you're doing, if you head down the same path that you did before, we're going to come hard on you, come down hard on you. But there's a way out. We have, and they have a variety of speakers. They have police officials there. They have U.S. Attorney's Office there.
Motivational speakers.
Motivational speakers, grieving family members who've lost loved ones due to violence.
Do we have any sort of any way to determine if these have been effective? Or I guess it's sort of hard to quantify, isn't it?
It is hard to quantify. I know that there's been it's hard to quantify from in layman's terms.
Right.
I know that there is research out there that has suggested that it has been effective.
Okay.
I know that the I've talked to the one of the people who founded these call-ins, mm-hmm. who has pointed me to research that shows that.
Right, and keep trying is kind of I don't want to cut you off because I know that you're going somewhere with Tracy Morgan and one of the call-ins. So let me take a quick break, and we are hanging out with Jeremy Gorner, who is the Chicago Police Department reporter for the Chicago Tribune, who covers the CPD, and unfortunately that means a lot of violence. And in this case, we are talking about one of the suspects that's being charged in the execution of Tyshawn Lee. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Chicago Tribune reporter Jeremy Gorner, who covers the Chicago Police Department. And in this situation, we're talking specifically about the execution of Tyshawn Lee and
Dwight Boone Doty.
I'm changing the names. You're the journalist. You have all the facts. Or as many as they'll give you.
As many.
Right? Well, and that's the thing. So we were talking about the call-ins that they try to have former, well, gang members who mm-hmm. have been in jail previously,
correct.
Who've been paroled, maybe on probation. And go ahead.
Right. So Tracy Morgan was at one of these call-ins mm-hmm. on October 13th. And as he was leaving, his mother was picking him up from the call-in. And as she's driving away, they're followed by a vehicle. As they get a little bit south, somebody opens fire into the car, kills Mr. Morgan, and his mother is the driver, and she's wounded in the arm.
Right.
So basically after that, Corey Morgan is, according to prosecutors, is basically vowing revenge, but he's basically saying, and this is all paraphrasing, that I'm going to go after grandmothers, mothers, kids.
Right.
I really don't care. So, obviously, there were suspicions on the street that Killaward had something to do with this because the two gangs have been fighting. So, 5 days later, October 18th, you have Brianna Jenkins, mm-hmm. who is sitting in a car with a man over by 78th and Honoree in Auburn Gresham. Police have said that he's a member, called him a member of Killaward.
Okay.
So, what prosecutors are saying is that Boone Doty went to that car, saw him, figured he was a member of Killaward, and shot him, and in the process killed Brianna Jenkins, who police have stressed that was an innocent victim.
Right. She'd only gotten to know this other man in the car. They had met previously, like not that long.
Not that long, exactly.
And she was a nursing student. She mm-hmm. had a very young woman.
Right.
Okay, so this murder happens.
So that happens. And then, so that's October 18th. And then after that, basically, Morgan, Boone Doty, and a third suspect, according to prosecutors, mm-hmm. wanted to continue their spree of revenge on Killaward, on the gang. And
is there any information on how they locked into Tyshawn Lee? I mean, his father is a gang member. Did they think that he was directly involved?
Yeah. I mean, the police have said that it's because of Tyshawn's father's gang ties mm-hmm. that led to all this.
Not that there's ever a reason to target a 9-year-old boy, but mm-hmm. in their minds, in their world of revenge, and this is what we do, they locked into this little boy who was on his way to his grandmother's house with the intent to torture him, mm-hmm. and they shot him point blank.
Right. He was at Dawes Park 80th and Damon, and he was on a swing set with a basketball.
Right.
And, you know, the three pull up in an SUV, and Boone Doty comes out, hangs out with him for a little bit, dribbles the ball, and says, you know, hey, man, I'll take you to the store, you know, whatever.
Get some ice cream or something, whatever it is.
Treats,
or
some candy, who knows. And Tyshawn says, I don't have any money. And allegedly, Boone Doty says, okay, well, I'll get you whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Again, this is according to prosecutors. And so they go, so he essentially lures him into that alley across from the park. And that's where he shoots Tyshawn, kills him, and makes his escape with
Corey Morgan
and the other suspect. Yeah.
Okay, and they don't know who the other suspect is.
Yeah, the other suspect's name, his name is Kevin Edwards, and he's wanted on a warrant.
They haven't.
He's still at large. There's a possibility that he might have fled out of state.
And this is something people talk a lot about too: is truth in sentencing. Because had Dwight Boone Doty served his full time, which was a 5-year sentence, or at least more than the 2 years, he's not out in those 2 months the time it takes to kill Tyshawn Lee.
Right. I mean, you hear that a lot. I know Superintendent McCarthy, when he was, you know, while he was running the department, always talked about that in reference to gun crimes.
Right.
You know, and that's the other thing, too, with Boone Doty, is that he's got that, you know, that 5-year sentence that he got for the drug and gun conviction. That was out of Sangamon County in central Illinois.
Right.
Where Springfield is, that area. He had also had a previous gun conviction where he had at least one previous gun conviction where he had been sentenced to state prison. So, I mean,
What is the, you know, if there is no immediate and lasting ramifications of these convictions, yeah, they're going to get out and just do it again. It doesn't seem to make any sense. And I can see where the police department's got to be frustrated. The state's attorney's office has to be frustrated.
They're frustrated. And
the
I know
the community has to be angry.
Right. And I know it's an issue, obviously, that there's a strong divide on. I mean, there's studies out there that show that these mandatory minimums for gun offenders may have no effect on crime, but obviously, you know, the powers that be, you know, in Chicago feel differently.
Right.
And a lot of cops I've talked to feel the same way, that, you know, stricter sentences may make a difference. Who knows?
Well, in the one sense, it doesn't put Dwight Boone Doty in that alley with Tyshawn Lee.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you know, just the circumstances, the chances.
Right, and he's not the only example out of that. I mean, you know, whenever CPD holds these press conferences, I mean, they haven't done it lately, but whenever there's a press in the last few years, whenever there's been a press conference that's about violence, they'll go example after example of shooting suspects who they arrested who were on parole for a gun conviction in which they only served a few months but were sentenced to like a year or two.
It's like a slap on the wrist to them, it seems.
Right.
They're just going to go and hang out and come back and you know, commit even worse crimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps even get more angry. I don't know. You know, they feel like they've got it. Like you said, they have a sense of revenge. Mm-hmm. And this is what we don't understand in other communities. Are places like Auburn Gresham, where there's a different law of the land. There's a different mentality. That there's you were talking about the gangs, the rival gangs, and they have sort of branches. I think in your piece you said there's almost like a block by block faction of battles.
Yeah. So I think like the fascinating thing, and as tragic as this was, Patty. I mean, I guess just as someone who covers crime, like what I find fascinating about it is that you talk about the retaliatory nature of violence in Chicago, and this, in the murder of Tyshawn, Breonna Jenkins, is kind of the quintessential case of retaliatory violence in Chicago, because literally a lot of these shootings are tit for tat. You know, one victim's going to be Kill Award, another victim's going to be Terror Dome, and then, you know, it just keeps, the cycle just keeps on going.
Well, I hope that there's some way to break the cycle. We thank you so much for covering the stories, for bringing it home to us, keeping it in the forefront, for being a journalist, because it's hard to keep everybody going, you know, but we have to be informed. We have to keep reading, and we look forward to having you back on the show. Hopefully, there's never going to be a good time for us to talk, is there? We need to find a good story for you. We need to have like just a panel of like all the people that cover the sad stuff, bad weather and crime. We need to find like happy days for you guys.
Weather's been very good lately, though. So,
well, there you go. Take it where we can. That's Jeremy Gorner. Read him in the Chicago Tribune, and he covers the Chicago Police Department. So a lot of it is learning about these gangs, what's going on in our city. It's important to know. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.